How have we got here? Well, you'll remember that last week in chapter 5, Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh and they said to him, "Let my people go." You know, the word go means rest. Let my people rest. It's the word for the Sabbath day. So let my people have a Sabbath. And we saw last Sunday, we saw the Sunday before, that Pharaoh refuses to let the Hebrews go. Instead, he makes their life more difficult. They're slaves, and they've been given the task of making bricks and building the great cities of Egypt. So Pharaoh decides, as we've seen, that he will no longer supply the Hebrews with straw in order to make bricks. So the Hebrews have to scurry around the land, finding anything they can to use as straw to make the bricks, to meet the quotas. And we've seen that the slave drivers are beating the Hebrews because they fail to meet their targets. And then the elders of the Hebrews go into Pharaoh and they say, "Why are you treating us like this? It's your fault that we can't make our quotas. It's not our fault." And then at the end of chapter 5, the elders come out of Pharaoh's presence. They meet Moses and Aaron and they say, "Look what you've done to us. You have made us," and we saw last Sunday the word, "you have made us stink in the presence of Pharaoh and the taskmasters." So Moses, what does he do? We saw that he goes back from Egypt, back to the desert. He goes back to the burning bush, and there God remains in that burning bush, and Moses prays for the people. The word we saw last Sunday is the word intercession. Moses intercedes. And this is the second time Moses has had to leave Egypt as a failure. Do you remember the first time when he killed the Egyptian and he flees for his life and he goes to Midian and he works for his father-in-law Jethro? Well, this is the second failure for Moses, and he goes back to the burning bush and he makes intercession for the Hebrews. Do you remember last Sunday? We were able, and it's nice when this happens, we were able to use three words, each beginning with the letter P. He was able to pray for the people. Moses was able to bring to God his person. "Why have you sent me? I'm the Redeemer." And he was able to talk about God's purposes. People, person, purposes. And so Moses prays for the people. Well, what we'll see today is the way God responds to the prayer of Moses. Before we look at it, I need to remind you that we look at Moses in order to see Jesus. And Jesus makes intercession for us. He prays at the Father's right hand for us, the people of God. He prays based on his person, as the one who lived and died and was raised from the dead, and he prays according to God's purpose for you and me. So let's look today then at how God answers the prayers of Moses. And I don't know about you, but for me it's been very interesting to think about how God answers the prayers of Jesus. We've all thought about the prayers of Jesus. All of us are comforted and strengthened by the fact that Jesus prays for us at God's right hand. But I don't think we think a great deal about how God answers those prayers. Well, we'll see that today in Exodus 6 when we come to apply it to the Lord Jesus. Now, I've said already it's very hot, so if anybody needs to get up and move about or take a drink, you're very welcome to do so. Let's ask God's blessing upon us. If you've got your Bibles there, I want to do something that I don't often do on a Sunday, and I want to show you the structure of this passage. If you don't have your Bibles, that's not a problem. I'm sure you can follow what I'm about to say. So the passage that we are looking at goes from verse 1 as far as verse 9 of Exodus 6. Now, we did read a bit further on, but the passage we are focusing on is from verse 1 to verse 9. And the very first verse is an introduction. So let's read the first verse. The Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land." So think of that as a title to a novel. With a strong hand is the title you can give, or the strong hand of Pharaoh, if you wish. There's your introduction. And then from verse 2 down to verse 9, you have this section in the book of Exodus. And do you see how it begins and how it ends? And most of us know that when you read your Bibles, look for a word or a phrase that is repeated, and you'll be able then to say, well, that repetition shows we have a section. We have a little passage all by itself that we are meant to consider. So take a look at verse 2. And God spoke to Moses and said, "I am the Lord." Take a look at verse 8. "I will bring you out into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord." So you've got this tremendous statement about God, who is the Lord at the start, and then it is there at the finish. I am the Lord. So what we have here is a passage that is all about the Lord. And it's one of the great passages, not just in Exodus, but in the whole of our Bibles, that speaks to us about the Lord. And what God does is he reflects back the prayer of Moses. He's going to talk about the person, the people, and the purpose, just as Moses did in his prayers. So let's take a look at that then, shall we? I am the Lord. And what we have from verse 2 to verse 4 is this demonstration of who the Lord is. We focus on the person of the Lord. Now, just take a look at those verses, and they're all about God, aren't they? I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham. I was not known to them. I established my covenant with them. Here he is then, putting himself forward in answer to the praise of Moses. I am the Lord. This is who I am. This is what I've done. This is the person of God. That's verses 2 to 4, the person of God. And then in verse 5, you have the focus on the people of God. Look at verse 5. I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. This coming Wednesday, let's take a look at the covenant when we meet on Zoom. But here in verse 5 is a wonderful summary of the people of God. Just as Moses prayed for the people of God and their burdens and their hardships and their heartbreaks, here is God in verse 5. He's answering that prayer by talking about the people of God. I have heard their groanings. So do you see how this so wonderfully matches the prayer of Moses? Because verse 6 to verse 8, you have this a whole section on the purpose of God. What is God doing? What's his plans? And there you see it from verse 6 to verse 8. Let me just read a little bit. Verse 6, "Say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord, I will bring you out from the burdens of the Egyptians." There's God's purpose. That's what he's planning to do. And I want you to notice, I've done it several times, and I'm challenging you now to see whether I've counted right or wrong. Because from verse 6 to verse 8, I've counted 7 occasions where you have the words, "I will." Now, I've checked, I'm sure it's 7, but you might be able to count more and tell me that I'm wrong. But just listen then to how many times God says what he will do, his purposes. So verse 6, I will bring you out. Verse 6, I will rescue you. Verse 6, I will redeem you. And then we're in verse 7, I will take you as my people. And then I will be your God in verse 7. And then as you go down, you've got, I will give it to you as a heritage. Verse 8, I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham. Do you see this great emphasis on I will? And it's got some of the great statements there of God's purposes. I will redeem, I will rescue, I will be your God, I will bring you out, I will deliver you. It's all what God is purposing to do. It's not what he's asking the Hebrews to do. He's not giving them commandments and telling them what rules they should follow and how they should be better and how hard they need to work. It's all about God and who God is and what God will do for his people whom he has chosen. He has remembered his covenant, and God is going to answer his pra the praise of Moses to fulfill his purposes. That's what you have here. So do you get a sense of the structure of the passage then? I'll just run through it quickly again. You've got the person of God, verses 2 to 4, the people of God in verse 5, and then 6 to 8, you've got the purposes of God. Just as Moses said that prayer according to that pattern, so God replies. Can I show you one more thing? What you have here is the idea of the God of the present, the God of the past, and the God of the future. And that's the order you find it in chapter 6, verse 2. I am the Lord. It's the God of the present moment. The God who is here now with Moses in that burning bush. The God who is listening to the praise of Moses. It's the God who is in the present moment with his people. And as you can see, verse 3 and 4 is the God of the past. I'm the God who appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I was known to them as God Almighty. I didn't give to them the name the Lord. I am the God who established my covenant with my people. So there's the God of the past very clearly on display for us in these verses. And so it's not difficult. It's no stretch of the imagination to go from verse 6 to verse 8 and to see that what you have there is the God of the future. I will do this, and I will redeem you, and I will bring you out, and I will be your God. So when Moses at that burning bush prays to God, he's coming before the God of the present, the God of the past, and the God, not just of his future, Moses, but of the future of the people of Israel. Now that's what we have here in these verses. So you can see very clearly then that God is listening to Moses. He's heard the cries of the people of the Hebrews, and he's going to send Moses back again, third time now, for him to go back to Egypt. And just as a point of interest, you might find it not very interesting. I find it very intriguing. When you go down to the verses, go down in the chapter, if you will, and verse 13. Verse 13 is known as a secret verse. What does that mean? It means we are not given all the information that we would like. Because what happens in verse 13 is God gives some secret word or secret power, secret password. We're not sure what it is. God gives it to Moses, and he goes and he gives it to the children of Israel, and maybe a second one for Pharaoh to bring the children out of Egypt. It's a hidden A message, if you like, shared by God with Moses, only for Moses to know that he might then do this according to God's purpose. That's the idea there. Well, I don't think we'll stay long, guys, because it is so hot. But it's absolutely right this morning to think of Moses then before the burning bush, praying for the people of God, and to find Jesus Christ, our great high priest, who makes intercession for us. And as Jesus prays for us, God answers the praise of Jesus, as we see here in Exodus 6. What God says to his son is, "I am the Lord." That's this great statement of power and authority and glory and majesty. God's response to the praise of his son is to declare, to reveal, demonstrate the wonder of who he is as God. You may remember in chapter 5 when Moses goes into Pharaoh and he says, "The God of the Hebrews," Pharaoh says, "Stop right there. Who is this Lord," he says, "that I should listen to him?" Chapter 5. Chapter 6 is God's answer to Pharaoh. "I am the Lord." And it is such a thrilling and resounding statement. "I am the God that I am, the everlasting God, the maker of heaven and earth." So God answers prayer, firstly and above all else, with a declaration of who he is as God. And that gives us great confidence as Jesus prays for us that God should answer him with a declaration of his glory and his majesty. When Jesus prays for you and me, he is coming to the God of the present. He's coming to the God of the past, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The God who is forever, the eternal God, the God of the living, not the God of the dead. The God who has established his covenant with his people. And that is a part of how God frames the prayer, the answer to prayer that he offers his son. It's with this reference to all these centuries of human history in which God has saved men and women and built his church and spread the gospel and glorified his name. It is that God who responds to the praise of Jesus. You see, God's response in terms of the people, in terms of you and I, when Jesus prays for us, God not only says to Jesus, "I've heard your praise," but he also says, "I have heard the praise of my people." What do you feel about prayer? I've always said that I find prayer very difficult. I was asked by somebody this week how much I pray. Do I kneel down by the side of my bed and say my prayers? What's your thoughts about prayer? Whatever they are, what we have is a God who hears your praise, whatever they like, long or short, knelt down by the bed or not. God hears your praise. He sees your heartbreak. He hears your cries. He listens to the groanings of his people. And that's so clear in Exodus, isn't it? That on the one hand, you've had all these years go by in which the Hebrews have cried out to God. Their situation has got worse. The oppression has increased. And yet God says very clearly, "I have heard the cries of my people." So God is listening to you when you pray for yourself, if you're praying for your loved ones. I've encouraged you on a Sunday night for weeks now to pray for your families, those who are unsaved. We have talked about the wrath of God on a Sunday night. We've talked about the righteousness of God on a Sunday night. We have said that God has appointed a day when he will judge the world in truth. He will call every person to give an account to him. And so on a Sunday night, I've said to you that your wives and your husbands and your sons and your daughters and your friends will all be called by God to give an account to him for the fact that they are sinners and that they have rejected God. Now that day is inescapable. And that day is a day that those you love will face God in judgment and in truth. Whether we are being stirred up to pray, I don't know. But what Moses is learning here is that God hears the prayers of his people. So he is listening to you as you pray for your daughter or as you pray for your grandson. God is listening to you as you pray for the congregation, for us as a company of believers. God is listening to us and he's hearing us as the God of the present and the God of the past. He's the God of the future. He is hearing the prayers and the cries and the strong tears of you and me, his people. And then we come, don't we, to the purposes of God. Those seven, I will. And they are the most encouraging words that in spite of how impossible it is, how heavy the burdens of the Hebrews get, how impossible for them to make their bricks. Moses is saying, nobody listens to me. They won't hear me. They don't believe me. It doesn't matter how impossible it is. You hear the purposes of God. I will. I will bring them. I will rescue them. I will deliver them. I will redeem them. I will be their God. Now, if there was anything designed to give Moses a bit of a backbone, it was those great statements. I will. But we've seen that the response of Moses straight away in verse 9 is to say they won't listen to me. They won't hear me. They won't believe me. And in fact, you read the rest of the passage, and when Moses does go and say, this is our God and he will deliver us, because of their anguish of spirit, they don't believe. Well, we come to our Saviour Jesus Christ as he prays for his church, as he prays for you and me. He hears God say, I will redeem them, deliver them, rescue them. I will redeem them and I will be their God. There is no doubt that the purposes of God will be accomplished in your life as an individual, in our life as a congregation. The purposes of God include timings, and there is a mystery in the way that God times, the way that he does deliver, and the moment he does rescue, and the way in which he does redeem. There's mystery here. There's what to us looks like delay. There's what looks to us like worsening situations. Absolutely. But God's purposes cannot fail. And he will be our God. He is the Lord. And he will accomplish his purposes. So what I'm hoping for myself and for you, is that we hear the way that God answers the prayers of Moses and his son, Jesus Christ. And that in hearing, we can hear this wonderful statement from the very throne room of heaven this morning. I am the Lord. Whatever else may be going on, And whatever else is happening, whatever you're up against, whatever the church is up against, whatever the situation is in our society, however many of the unconverted there may be, let's hear from the very throne room of heaven this great statement: I am the Lord, and I will. And I will do all that I have said, and all that I promised, and all that I have purposed in the person of my Son, Jesus Christ, and I will be your God. And may us, you and I this morning, not be like the Hebrews, who through anguish of spirit and through cruel bondage weren't able to hear this great statement that Moses brought to them from God. What's wonderful is this. They didn't believe, the Hebrews. They couldn't hear what Moses said, but that made no difference. And God accomplished his purposes nonetheless. He invites us to believe and to have confidence in him. He invites us to sink all our anxieties and all our worries in this great pool of God's purposes. And God is encouraging us to rejoice and be glad in the great purposes of God. He will accomplish what he has set out to do. But if we can't believe and we can't hear because our anguish is too great, and our bondage is too severe, it doesn't matter. God will nonetheless accomplish his purposes. Your unbelief, my lack of prayer, our inability to rejoice will not prevent God from doing his will in our lives and the church and the world in which we live. And can I end on this note? I've stressed to you the I wills, seven of them. We're going to have seven signs in John's Gospel. And the seven as a number features in the story of Moses, in the story of Jesus. It's the idea of perfection and completion. God says, I will. And as I've said to you this morning, he's not telling us, you do. You try, you pray. He's not saying you be better. God is saying, I will. And I am the Lord. And my purposes will be fulfilled. And there's an echo here of what we've seen already. Do you remember when Moses says, let my people go? It's let my people rest. And instead, Pharaoh made the burdens greater. When Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's an echo there of Moses going into Pharaoh, give my people rest. Jesus gives us rest. Well, in the same way, when you've got here in Exodus 6, I will redeem and I will be your people and I will deliver, you have exactly the same. In Matthew 16, Jesus says, I will build my church. He doesn't tell us to do it. He will build his church. So God takes center stage, everyone. It's all of God. It's nothing of us. Jesus prays for us. And this is how God responds with who he is, with the fact he hears his people's praise and that his purposes cannot fail. Well, let's ask God to bless his word to us.